Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Promised Land with me, Scott Saunders. We're 24 hours removed from the Manchester Derby and a monumental Manchester Derby win for Manchester United over Manchester City with two late goals, a Bruno Fernandes penalty and an Amad Diallo winner for all time. I mean, Amad has now got a injury time winner against Liverpool in the FA Cup and a 90th minute winner against Manchester City at the Etihad. And what a week and what a performance from him. Big win for United, very, very much needed. And, you know, I'm going to reflect on that today, talk about what's been happening and hopefully clear up as much as I can about where this podcast has been. I promise this will be back properly. Just having a bit of a difficult moment. So I think it's really, really important that you, if you like this podcast anyway, I would really like to ask you from the bottom of my heart to please follow me on social media at @_ScottSaunders on Instagram, TikTok, X, etc., etc. And I'm on Blue Sky as well. The link is in the description. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know if I'll be able to record quite as regularly as I was planning to because there's a few things going on at the moment. But I will definitely at some point be back doing this properly in the next few weeks. So just please bear with me. Everything's okay. And we will just get back to talking about United on the regular, perhaps even more regular as possible in the next few weeks. But yeah, I'm all good. I know I put a message out on X yesterday. It has been a difficult week, but I am back for I couldn't miss the opportunity to record today. I've got to be honest. I was going to do it last night. I was going to do it earlier today, but I've been a bit tied up. But I have found some time to be able to talk about what we saw at the Etihad yesterday, because it was really good, wasn't it? It was really good in the sense of, you know, United taking a big win, that rotten. And oh God, if you listened to my most recent podcast, you might have realized, and because I did mutter under my breath, that my Apple Watch and Siri has started talking to me. And it's just done that within 2:20 of this recording as well. But I was saying it was such a big win in the circumstances for United. I know City aren't exactly on it at the moment, one win in 11 now, which is pretty crazy. But that game was billed as two Manchester teams that are underperforming, but a game that was potentially a turning point in their season. I don't know if it would have been for City. Maybe I'll explain my reasons as to why I think that era is ending on this podcast just in a little bit as we talk about City. But this is a United podcast, obviously. And I think what Ruben Amorim has needed is a big win. You know, something that makes everyone believe. And I think in the circumstances of how that game played out, going from the morning of with the absences of Marcus Rashford and Alejandro Garnacho, right through the game where, look, City aren't great. They're not good at the moment. And I think that they're far, far away from the levels that we know they've been over the last 4 years. And perhaps they're easier to play against. But I think the really important thing from this is, and Amorim touched on it, I thought the performance was really good in the sense of, Not free-flowing and amazing and really, really entertaining or get you off the edge of your seat kind of thing, because they created loads of chances, but more in the elements of control. They went to the Etihad and controlled the game. They went 1-0 down, obviously, with a deflected cross. And it's another set piece. Obviously, this is a problem that United have got to try and fix, conceding from set pieces. Gvardiol scoring the opening goal for City. And you just thought, oh, again, like, United have been half decent here, but they've given away a cheap goal and they never come from behind to win matches. But I think the way that they reacted to that, you know, I think I don't really recall many other chances that City had. Phil Foden had one jinking run, which forced a save from Andre Onana, deflected around the post. But City were not cutting United open. And if anything, it was United who were perhaps... if there was one team I had to pick to win the game that deserved it, it would have been United, even at 1-0. And it just so happened that they managed to pull two goals out of the bag in the last 3 to 7 minutes or whatever it was, if you include the injury time. And I think what Ruben Amorim needed really was a big win like that to validify. That's not a word, is it? To bring validity to what he was doing. What am I talking about? Bring validity to what he was doing. And we're seeing... not gradual improvements all the time. I wouldn't say that. But we are... We saw a lot in that team yesterday that was good, that is able to be worked on. And I think what the players need is to go into a big game like that and get validation. Validation. Sorry, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, just say validation, Scott. Just say validation. Like, it's come to me now. Validation. Just have a bit of validation that what you've been working on and what the manager or the head coach has been telling you, this is where you need to be, use this, pass this way, or even things like the centre-backs who were really aggressive going forward and meeting their attacker, like high up the pitch, going and pressing and forcing the ball backwards. I noticed a lot of that. And it's really good to see that you have... no matter how the win comes around, it is a big game. Manchester City is still Manchester City. They're still the Premier League defending champions. And going into a game like that and coming out of it with a good performance, say good, but a better performance than the opposition and a win in the circumstances that came around will be massively, massively, massive for confidence. I think there's players in that team who are stepping up now and are showing that they are worth a place in this team, and Ahmad is absolutely one of those. I do want to talk about him, obviously, but there's players like Manuel Ugarte who's showing himself to be, you know, he's working in the system that Amorim has played with him at Sporting. He's doing the same role-ish, and he knows where he needs to be. He knows the intensity he needs to play at, and it's really important that players like him who've just come in and they need to settle in, but it's important they find their feet. Harry Maguire, I thought, was excellent. And who'd have ever thought, really, a few weeks ago, that Harry Maguire would be trusted in a big game like that? You know, obviously, Amorim has then come out and said that he likes him in that central centre-back position. He went up against Erling Haaland, fought him physically. It was a physical battle, and he won. He won that. There's other players. Lucho Martinez looked a lot better. He's been quite shaky recently, but he looked a lot better. Matthias De Ligt, I think, has been pretty solid. Nusa Mazraoui. Damn. Wow. He is slotted in and probably is the best summer signing that United have made. An absolute bargain. I know everybody's talking about this. 13 million quid, 15 million euros, or whatever it is. This guy has come in and has just fit in seamlessly. He has all the basics. He got skinned by Jeremy Doku once or twice, but you know, I think after a little while where he got used to what the feint that Doku does, I think he then ended up figuring him out, dispossessing him and carrying the ball forward. And that happened for his dispossession of an opposing player happened in the lead up, and he created the lead up to the chance that put Bruno Fernandes through, that he put wide. So I think his ability to take the ball off the opposition, drive into midfield and drive through spaces, good feet, good footwork, can spot a pass as well. He passed it into Rasmus Højlund, who cut the defense open with a pass for Bruno, who put it wide. And I thought at that point, oh, that's the chance. That's the chance that United need. And they've missed it. But I think that gave them encouragement. And Mazraoui has been really good. There's other players in this team who have been really good as well. I think it might take a little bit of an adjustment for Kobbie Mainoo, perhaps. We all know the talent he's got, but I think being in those two midfield positions, I think in the first few weeks, you think maybe he needs some time to adjust a little bit. But I thought he was, after starting a little bit slowly, I thought he grew into the game, and I thought he was really good in the end. And I don't want to go through the whole team, But I did say a few weeks ago, and he didn't score yesterday, but I did say a few weeks ago on this pod, I think, that Rasmus Højlund is the kind of striker that Ruben Amorim is going to want to use. And before that game, I think he had 5 goals in 4 or 6 in 5. And obviously scored in Europe as well. And is showing that he has that about him. Obviously, that pass through for Bruno Fernandes was showing that maybe he can be a provider. He can offer that side of the game as well. But I think Højlund has been... there's definitely levels to unlock in Rasmus Højlund. And I'm really glad that he's starting to show that he does have that appetite for goal. I think we've always known that's there, but the problem has been that the players don't pass to him. But he does seem more involved now. And even Joshua Zirkzee as well, who came on, Anthony, who came on as well, and I think made a difference in an attacking sense with his ability to carry the ball from wing back. So look, I don't want to run through the whole team, like I say, but it's good to see that we're starting to get different levels of performance and better levels of performance out of the players. But I will caveat that by saying I've got written down it's only City. And I say that in the nicest, well, do I? You know, it's only City. City are different. City are very different. So I think the lesson or the thing I want to take out of this and maybe stress at this point is I'm sure that there's not many people who are thinking that we beat City, so we're back. Obviously, I don't think that's the case at all. I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't think that's the case. But I just wanted to nail down that I think City won 1-11. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. But to me, they look completely different. They look spent as a team. They look devoid of different ideas. I used to criticize Pep Guardiola for not having a different plan. And then he ended up playing giant centre-backs as right-back and left-back and maybe showed that he has a different element to his game and he's played false nines and this kind of thing and made little tweaks and then brought Erling Haaland in. But I think the fundamentals of what Pep has always wanted is he wants intensity, he wants pressing from the front, he absolutely wants complete control of the game and possession. But I think the energy's gone. And I look at the desire of the players, I look at the age of the players, I look at City's activity in the transfer market over the last couple of seasons. And I wrote a piece a few weeks ago and I said it in a video at the start of the season. Why are you selling Julian Alvarez for $100 million or whatever it was, $100 million, and not replacing him? It's weird. And obviously there's other context, which I'm not going to get into, but I'm sure you can guess what I'm talking about. That means that there's a lot of doubt around Man City at the moment. And I feel like Pep himself is doubting his own abilities. And I think the reason why I think City as a force this season in terms of winning the title is not going to be there. And I think some fundamental change is needed, whether that's in a lot of the players. I think you're talking 6-7 starters even. Some people might think it's two or three midfielders and everything will be fixed. But to me, I think they have one of the highest average ages for their squad in the league. And they haven't done that. They've put that that reshuffle and that overhaul of their team a year too late. And obviously there's discussion about whether Pep is better than Ferguson. And some people have their preferences. If you listen to this podcast and you're a United fan, you know what the answer is. Of course you do. And the reason why Sir Alex Ferguson is the best ever is because when he faced situations like this at Manchester United, more often than not, he would recognize the situation before we could see it and he would address it. And we would think, oh no, we sold David Beckham or we sold Ruud van Nistelrooy. What? Why? I'm upset about that. Or he sold the team with Kanchelskis and brought through a bunch of kids. You know, he knew exactly when that time was right or the desire had gone or like people were looking elsewhere and he knew how to refresh a team and keep it going in order to keep winning titles. And I think what we're seeing with City at the moment is there's one team that has won everything and that team can't win everything forever because it's human nature. It's human nature. And I think that desire is going to he's going to burn away. And then that reflects in the intensity that you play at, your fight for every ball, your concentration in matches, this kind of thing. And that's where I think City are at, to the point where I think even Champions League qualification is a problem for them. I think United are 5 points behind City at the moment with, I'll touch wood here. I don't want to say that there's three winnable games coming up before the Liverpool game over the festive period. Because you never know. United lost to Forest a week ago or so and conceded some absolutely shocking goals. Absolutely shocking. And that's still in there. But the important thing is that what United have done is take a big win and displayed improvements in the system. It seems like they're starting to get to grips with what Ruben Amorim wants them to do. And Ruben Amorim seems a lot happier. But Ruben Amorim is also... what happened yesterday was justification for Ruben Amorim. And justification for what Ruben Amorim has to bring to this Manchester United squad.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
And that's discipline. And obviously, the big headlines before this game were no Marcus Rashford and Alejandro Garnacho in the squad at all. They completely left out, and it emerged after that they trained on Sunday morning. And Ruben Amorim watched them and he said they trained great. And this week coming is a new week, and they will have a chance to be in the squad for Tottenham on Thursday. But what they had done in the week leading up to the City game was not as good as their teammates. It's the attitude, it's, as he said, the way you dress, it's the way you eat. And all those little things, how you conduct yourself, your attitude, ultimately are what sets the greatest apart, I suppose. Like, I'll take Ronaldo as this example, Cristiano Ronaldo. Absolutely obsessed with being the best player in the world. The Ronaldo-Messi debate is, there's always one that has more talent, in a sense, and look, you might disagree with this. I'm just saying what the debate is. Messi has more talent. Ronaldo has the drive, and that's why they've ascended to the levels they've ascended to together. And you can have your preferences. Obviously, some people prefer Ronaldo. More people prefer Messi, I would say. But that attitude is what sets most players apart. You can have all the talent in the world, if you don't have the attitude to take you there, then ultimately, lesser talented players could probably get further than you. And I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. There's some rumors flying around, but I don't know what's going on. And I don't want to make this a critique of Marcus Rashford and Alejandro Garnacho. Because I think in Rashford's case, I went on US radio earlier on and I said, Marcus Rashford has come into a club that is incredibly unstable. Manager changes from year to year, every couple of years or whatever. And ultimately, he's not had the same benefit, Marcus Rashford, as other players 15 years before him had to come into a team like Manchester United and learn from the likes of Roy Keane, Gary Neville, Paul Scholes, David Beckham. Instead, he had Wayne Rooney in the team, obviously, but I think United were very much on a downtrend at that time and losing their place as a club and losing their place as a club with the highest standards and culture. And ultimately, Marcus Rashford has come in and ascended to a level where his status as a homegrown talent and his talent in general has lofted him to this point where everybody thinks he's that new Beckham or he's that new Rooney, when I don't really think that's fair. And that can be a lot to carry for any player, you know, no matter who you are, really. And I don't think it's... Look, there's a question coming about Marcus Rashford. He's 27 years old now. It's a clean slate for him, as Ruben Amorim said, from today. So let's see what he delivers, if the attitude's right in training. Because there's other players in his position who are playing better than him at the moment. And what should happen with this team and what should happen with Manchester United, what should happen with any successful team, really, is you get in the team based on merit and based on your efforts. There should be no guaranteed starters. United are 13th in the league. There should be no guaranteed starters in this team. Everybody should be working as hard as they possibly can and showing every correct characteristic to justify their place in the team. And that's how it should be. And what we're seeing is Amad Diallo is absolutely the emblem of what we need from Manchester United at the moment. And look, players will go through dips in form and there's off-field stuff. You can always consider, obviously, the human beings at the end of the day. But I think what we need to see is more players like Amad, or players taking a leaf out of Amad's book and a page out of Amad's book and displaying the kind of desire, determination to run forwards, run backwards. The reason why he won the penalty for the equaliser was, if you look at it to start with, his high press. It forced a pass, and then he was in a position, having done that high press, to do another press or anticipate that the pass from Matheus Nunes was going back into an area where he could retrieve it, and he won the penalty because of it. If he hadn't have made that first press in the first place, he wouldn't have got the ball. So that's the kind of attitude. That was the 88th minute, 87th minute, 86th minute, or whatever it was. That kid is displaying everything that you need to see for Man United to pull themselves out of this mess. And if more players follow his example, United will get there faster. And look, in Rashford and Garnacho's cases, it's a challenge for them. I put Garnacho in the same boat as Rashford as well. There's obviously speculation about team leaks and this kind of thing and who's done what, which should be eradicated. That shouldn't be happening, absolutely, and is another indicator of the cultural problems that I suppose that United are having. But Marcus Rashford and Alejandro Garnacho are both academy products, obviously. They both play in similar positions. They can play together. They've delivered big goals for United, but at the same time, I suppose there's an expectation that's been put on them that means sometimes it's pretty difficult to deal with. And you get, at Garnacho's age, a lot of criticism from people who don't believe he's the technically greatest player in the world. And there's work to do there. And no, it's fair enough. I get it. But Ruben Amorim has obviously seen something over the last few days, which meant that he took those players out of the team and out of the squad completely. And what's happened is those players haven't been there, and United have gone there with the right attitude and won the game. And that is every validation that Ruben Amorim could have wished for came in that game. And if you remember when Erik ten Hag went, I don't know whether this is different or whatever, I always talk about this, and we've had lots of debates. And I'm sorry to mention ten Hag again, the Arsenal game, where Garnacho goes through at the start of last season, is marginally off, scores a goal, but is marginally offside. And then Arsenal go down the other end and score twice, and United lose the game. In that instance, if Erik ten Hag had said the same about Jadon Sancho that he said that day, and United had won the game, and that wasn't offside, maybe the picture would have been completely different, because the manager would have invalidated with his decision. But obviously that wasn't the case, and then that was a story for the rest of the year and beyond, to the point where Jadon Sancho ended up leaving for Chelsea, so, and for Borussia Dortmund. So Amorim, really, can you imagine? I have no doubt that he would have dealt with it well, because I think what Ruben Amorim is displaying is a lot of maturity, and he's very forthright and he's fair. But if United hadn't have gone and won that game, it might have been a problem. You know, it might have been more of a problem than the... Look, the media are still talking about it, obviously. But it probably would have been a hell of a lot worse if United hadn't have got the 3 points. So, look, I think it's just important that what happened is United went to this game and ultimately took the 3 points. And I think what the important thing to remember here is United were... They were better on the day, I think. And the display was had some good qualities in it. They're by no means a finished product at all. And look, they could go to Tottenham on Thursday night and lose and go out of the League Cup or drop points next weekend. And ultimately, this game might not be the start that we hope it could be. But at the same time, it's a great thing to build on. It's a really, really good thing to build on. And of course, as a fan, as a supporter, it was fun. Really, really good. The away end looked incredible. To be fair, the videos that I've seen since have been great. The Rasmus Højlund Instagram post, if you haven't seen it already, just go check it out. It's just on his Instagram or it's floating around social media, of his incident with Kyle Walker and his little poem. Perfect. There's players dancing in the dressing room videos coming out. And, you know, it's a good moment for United. It's really important that they... But this is the thing. It's so really important that they don't just think, we beat City. You know, they need to now learn what they did well in that game and reapply it and reapply it and reapply it over again and keep building on it. Because ultimately... United have had big wins over City and big wins over rival teams in the past. And then the next week they've gone and lost. And then they've not been able to build on that progress. So I'm hoping that the players can take belief in that. And the right message, the messages of standards were sent and they actually register with the players. So they're able to, you know, think about what they're doing, think about their actions and put all the right requirements into their game to win a place back in the first team. And no player, Rashford or Garnacho or whoever it is, should be above the baseline standards. Every standard should not be a question at Man United. They shouldn't be, but they are. When we see a player running and... The fact that Ahmad's won the game, but the fact that I'm talking about him chasing every ball as a positive, every player should be doing that. Every player should be. But in order to get back to that point, examples like that need to be set so that players can go, oh my God, it actually does work, doesn't it? So look, I think I've been talking for 27 minutes there or 26 minutes or whatever it is, and it's... I suppose the message is fantastic win, amazing win, absolutely loved it, brilliant, brilliant experience. But as Ruben Amorim did say, and he said this about Ahmad as well, it's important we keep Ahmad at a level and keep him doing that consistently. And Bruno Fernandes said it as well. And it's just about the team in general. You might have beaten City, but City are on a downward trend, won 1-11. And ultimately, the important thing is that it's just one win. And in order for United to get back on the path to recovery, they need more. They need to do that better as well. The performance wasn't great. I know I've complimented the performance, but it wasn't great, really, was it? It was something to build on, and they kept control, and they don't keep control in these games against City. But I think against a team with higher intensity, I think United might find some different problems. I just think City's intensity is gone. So it's important they don't get duped into thinking, we beat City. So that means now we'll roll over Tottenham or Bournemouth because it just ain't like that. So getting the attitude right is the most important thing. Getting 3 points every game, you know, it is really important. United need to climb the table. They're 13th in the league. United have won a few in the Europa League now as well. So United are getting back to... Hopefully they can secure over the next... I think it doesn't end until January, but if they can end up winning their remaining games and get in two extra games out of the calendar, so they don't have to play a qualifier for the last 16, I think it is, then that will give them more time on the training pitch to either train more or rest more. And that will be really, really valuable given the volume of games that there are. But look, I think it's important to remember that it's a big win, but at the same time, this is probably the first brick built on a very, very big wall, which there's lots and lots and lots to do, but this type of win, and in the fashion it came in as well, is so important for team morale and team belief and for the coach to instill his ideas. So let's keep our fingers crossed for more positive stuff out of United. It was a great Sunday afternoon, or a great final 5 minutes of the football on the Sunday afternoon, and a great result in the end. And like, look, there's been some dark times of this club over the last few years, and they are by no means fixed yet, but really important to get that. And let's hope now that they can start building on it. But anyway, yeah, I'm not quite sure when I'll be back yet. So I just wanted to finish off today with a bit on the pod's future. I touched on it at the top, but look, I think, I really, 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 really appreciate everybody who listens to this podcast. And I thank you so, so much. I do apologize for saying a few times in the past that I'll be back twice a week, because I know I have said this. I'll be back twice a week, and that'll be the case. That is still the intention. Hopefully more coming soon. But there's just a few things going on at the moment, which means that life's taken over in a sense, I guess. So I just needed to. Whenever I can find the right times to record, I will, and I'll drop an episode, because I know that people are missing it, according to my my replies and my DMs. So a big thanks to everyone who listens to this and who needs it. And the important thing is everything's okay. And in terms of the future, I don't know when I'll know something yet, but it won't be too long. And you know, we'll see how it goes. But like, look, I'm not going anywhere. I just might be a little bit irregular. And let's see how it goes, I suppose. But thank you so much, everyone, for your concerns and for your messages and for your continued support, for continuing to download or watch on YouTube. You can subscribe to the show if you haven't done so already. The Promised Land, a Manchester United podcast on YouTube and on Spotify and Apple as well. You can get the audio. So yeah, please subscribe if you've not done so already. I will say this as well. For any updates on the pod, which there may be some soon, please do follow me on social media, because I think that's probably the easiest place for me to say something about it. So it's _Scott Saunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok. And I'm on Blue Sky as well, although I've not been posting on there. I really need to post more. But look, what I can say is that eventually this pod will be more regular than ever. I can pretty much nail that on. Just don't know when it is. So, look, I really appreciate the support. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And thanks, everyone, for watching. Until next time, I've been Scott. I hope you enjoyed your weekend and enjoyed the Derby win, because they've been pretty not regular over the last few years, even though the last two times United have played City, they won 2-1. So that's a good thing to celebrate. And we will be back in action. I say we, United will be back in action on Thursday night against Tottenham, and I'll be back soon. Don't hold me to specifics yet, but I can say that the podcast will be bigger and better than ever at some point in the near future. But thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, everyone, for watching. And until next time, it's been the Promised Land podcast with me, Scott Saunders. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. See you soon.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.